I love a good shortcut when I'm driving. Do you all? There was this great cut through that I discovered on my way from my job back to grad school in Atlanta. It was from La Vista to Briarcliff, and it felt like it cut off probably 10 minutes, even though we know it was probably just 1 second or so. And then one day as I was driving through, all of a sudden, thump, and I was like, did I pop a tire? And then the next thing I know, thump, and then I look, and there's that daggum sign, the arch nemesis of the type A person. Caution, speed bumps. I'm assuming that maybe there had been others in Atlanta that had driven through this sweet little neighborhood street flying, and that it had become dangerous, and so they put the speed bumps there because the speed bumps, they're supposed to slow us down. And what we're going to be looking at over the next 6 weeks are the speed bumps that you shared with the congregation a couple weeks ago. Thank you. Your pastors want to thank you for sending in so many of the things that have been speed bumps, and we are going to see how, when we face them, how we can face them with faith. Scripture is packed with stories to help us get through them. I asked y'all to send them, and so we've come up with 6 topics: the work transition and sudden loss of a job, death and dying, aging, all the stages of aging, relationships specifically with our spouses, family, and today, the speed bump of mental and physical health struggles. The passage that Jake just read, Jesus has just left the temple. He has left the temple because he was in danger. The religious leaders were not happy with what he was doing. And as he is leaving, the scripture says that he passes by a man, and then he sees the man who is blind. Then the disciples are the ones that say, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was blind since birth? Because in the first century, it was common to believe that if you had some ailment like that, if you had leprosy, or if you had been born paralyzed, then either you had done something wrong, or your parents had done something wrong. As Jesus does with much of legend, as well as the Old Testament law, he gives it a new light. And his response, I'll say again, was, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. My dad has 2 younger sisters, and his youngest sister, Charlotte, my Aunt Charlotte, has always been blind, or at least I thought. And at some point in elementary school, I discovered that she actually wasn't born blind. She actually had sight when she was first born, but she was extremely premature. And so, you know, this is 65 years ago. What you did with a premature baby is that you wanted to care for the one organ that you knew was most underdeveloped, the lungs. And so you inundated them with oxygen, because that's how to keep this precious little baby alive. But then there's these horrible side effects, because that tiny little baby, their blood can't process the oxygen, and so it can affect the brain, or it can affect the eyes. And in this instance, the overabundance of oxygen, it froze her retinas. And so she was never able to see. This is what's so crazy, is the oxygen kept her tiny little lungs alive so that she had a life. She's still living to this day. And yet, the oxygen had this life-altering side effect. When bad health things happen to us or to those that we love, it doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It doesn't mean your parents did anything wrong. It could even mean that a doctor didn't do anything wrong, and you are not getting punished for your sin. And I hope you know that in no way ever did God ever give you poor health, mental or physical, to teach you a lesson or to make an example out of you. That is not the God that we serve. Struggles with our health are part of being human. But the struggle The diagnosis, the depression, the injury. As followers of Christ, they do not get to be the last word. The health speed bump is not something that you brought on yourself or that God brought to you, but God is most certainly able to do something with it. There is a difference. And so Jesus, he sees this blind man and he leans down and he grabs a handful of dirt and then he spits in it and he begins to make a paste. And he takes that dusty paste and he puts it on the blind man's eyes and he says, go to that pool called Siloam and wash it off and you will be able to see. Jesus took dirt and made something beautiful happen. Isn't it a remarkable story? It's these type of stories that we hope for in our own lives. These are the type of stories we cling to, but the story is not over. And yet, because the Bible is a truth teller, we know that a truth teller about God. The Bible is also a truth teller about humanity. And I have to tell you, I'm sorry to tell you, if you don't already know, that the story of this precious man who was born blind and then was able to see, it does not end the way we might hope. The Pharisees, they hear about this supposed healing and they don't know what to do. And so they bring in the man to question him. They badger him. How did this happen? Who did this to you? Jesus did. Who is this Jesus? He must be a sinner. You see, Jesus had done something you're not supposed to on the Sabbath. He had mixed. He had kneaded dust and spit, forbidden on the Sabbath. They say, oh, it must have been that you weren't really blind. And they call in his parents and they badger his parents. Tell us, has your son really been blind since birth? They are so scared. They just say, ask him. He's of age. They say to one another, something is remiss here. Someone sinned to cause this because it's just too difficult to explain. They bring the man back a second time. And they say, Jesus, this Jesus, he sinned. He must be a sinner. And then the blind man says one of the most beautiful responses. He says, I do not know whether he was a sinner or not. All I know is I was blind and now I can see. This man who's had this amazing experience, he doesn't have it figured out. But what he knows is that something amazing has been happened in his life. He has been changed, and that cannot be because of anything of human hands. That simple statement is enough. Jesus took dirt, and he made a beautiful thing happen. But the story is not over. But then, there in the temple, the place where that blind man would have known everybody's voice, not their faces, the place where that blind man had thought, oh, this will be the place that celebrates with me. I have been set free from blindness. I can now see. The place where he had hoped people would welcome him, that place failed him. And I'm so sorry to say that the text says that they kicked him out. They drove him out of the church because churches filled with humans, bodies, they make mistakes. They will make mistakes. But the story is not over. Have you wondered where Jesus was as all this is happening in the temple and the badgering and calling in the parents? We don't know what is going on with Jesus, and so it could appear as if he has forgotten or if he has just moved on to the next big thing. Maybe he's abandoned him. Forgotten him. All the while, Jesus was watching and was engaged in this story, and I can't wait to tell you what happens. Listen to the rest of the scripture. When Jesus heard that they had driven him out, went and found him, and he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, and who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus went and sought out that man. Jesus had done what all of us thought the story should have ended with. We had all hoped for the physical healing. He had done it. He could now see. Oh my gosh, but Jesus had given him what everyone thought was what he needed, and yet for Jesus, physical healing was only part of what he needed. Because what this man needed more than anything was to be accepted and to belong. Jesus saw him. He knew him to his very core. And he wanted to make sure he knew, you belong, you are never alone. And so Jesus took dirt and he made this beautiful thing happen. And thanks be to God, the story was not over. Jesus knew his deepest needs. Jesus went and searched for him to find that man, to tell him, I see you. And you have seen the Son of Man. And then the once blind man gives the shortest statement of faith in all of Scripture. And I love this so much because I know some of you confirmands that you were not confident about your statements of faith. Maybe you thought they were too long or too short or not creative enough, or maybe they were boring or too fill in the blank. This man's statement was two words in Greek. Two words. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. He doesn't even have anything figured out. He just made his statement of faith. He can't even process all that has happened to him in this past couple of hours, and that is okay and enough. Wherever any of us are in our relationship with Christ, know this, Jesus never leaves you. Not when we are blind, not when we are whole, not when we have cancer or depression or a body that hurts all the time. You may be someone who is still longing and hoping for healing. Know this, Jesus sees you, knows you, has not left your story, has not abandoned you, and knows your deepest need. May it be so in my life and in yours.